Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTH and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTH.
Everybody, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Truth Wanted. I am your host, Objectively Dan, and this is the live call-in show that happens every single week, Fridays at 7 p.m. Central Time. We talk to people about what they believe and why, and we are in studio this time, folks, once a month, typically the last Friday of each month, although not this month because Thanksgiving is coming up. We are going to be in studio doing Truth Wanted show, so if you want to show up, it is an open to the public event. It's totally free. You can just show up and watch us do some fun stuff. So again, this is a live call-in show, and if you'd like to talk to us, you can. The number for that is 512-991-9242, or you can do it through your computer at tiny.cc/callTW. And every single week, I always have a special guest with me. Of course, this week is no different. It's the return of the Mac. It's Jamie Boone. Jamie Boone is in studio. What's up, Jamie?
I'm good. You always give me a weird face when I mess with you right before we go live. And because I do, and I wrote some things.
Jamie wrote, what if I farted right now?
And then revealed it like right as the music started
on
and he couldn't respond.
And this is the kind of live interaction that I sincerely miss because we've been doing these shows from our various apartments. You know,
it's harder to pass notes if you're hundreds of miles away.
Yeah, I don't know, Jamie, I'm glad that you're back. I'll say that. We got to host together recently on Talk Heathen, which you are an original host of.
If
Jamie looks familiar to you, that's where you know him from, probably. Mm-hmm. And also, I was going to tell you a story, too, about my first time on Talk Heathen.
Well, so this is in honor of the subject today, right?
This is in honor of what I want to talk about today, but before we get to that, Jamie, I have to remind folks that Truth Wanted is, in fact, a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the promotion of atheism, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion and government. So, yes, I wanted to talk about 5 years ago, Jamie.
Well, you should introduce the subject first, or no?
Well, no. This is the way into it. Okay.
So, what happened 5 years ago?
Let me tell you. So Jamie was a co-founder of Talk Heathen, one of the first hosts of Talk Heathen. And at the time, I was call screening for that show. I was showing up and I was volunteering.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And there was one day where something happened and I had to fill in as a host. And you were there. And this was like my first time doing any live show.
That's right.
You were my first, Jamie. And I'll always remember that fondly. But when we did that, I made the mistake because I was feeling myself, right? I thought I was doing pretty good.
If I recall correctly, you were doing pretty well.
I thought I was doing pretty good. I made an analogy, Jamie. I can't even remember what it was, but it was about gay people. Right, people who are gay, and I used you in that analogy, Jamie. I did not realize at the time that you were not publicly
like out.
You were not out, and I accidentally outed you.
To the atheist world.
That show, and you gave me this look where you were just like, "Okay, I guess we're just gonna roll with this."
I rolled with it, but I was surprised.
Jamie, I'm glad that you're back here for this episode of Truth Wanted. And we want to hear from you guys as well. If you want to talk to me, you want to talk to Jamie again, this is a call-in show. The number to that is on the bottom of the screen if you're
it's
watching
a call-in
on YouTube.
Show, and then so. I think after the show as well, isn't there a place they can go and chat? I don't know if this is the right time of the show to mention.
Well, we can get to that later. We'll talk about that later.
Just but, you wait. There's more. You'll
anyway.
See.
I'm happy you're here, Jamie. And the reason why I wanted to tell that story is I want to talk about being gay in America because
Tell me about it, Dan. Well, tell me about being gay in America.
Okay, to be fair, I don't know, like, firsthand. I mean, you would, but, like, there's a lot of things.
What's that supposed to mean? That I, no, no. Okay, anyway, just keep going.
Anyway, there's a lot of things that have been happening in the news recently, Jamie.
Yeah.
So one of the things is there's been an effort to codify gay marriage and interracial marriage in this country. For those of you who don't know, it's not codified, right? Yeah. Neither of those things are codified. What happened with both of those things is there were Supreme Court decisions that were made that denied states the ability to, you know, deny other people those rights, but it's not codified in the same way that Roe v. Wade, right,
was the result of a Supreme Court justice ruling rather than an implementation of law through the legislature.
And so in the same way that there have been codifications or attempts to codify gay marriage and interracial marriage so that it won't be overturned like Roe v. Wade was.
That's the idea.
And people are coming out of the woodwork on this, Jamie. It looks like 2008 out there. I'm hearing I'm hearing the culture war stuff of people saying, oh, you know, marriage is between a man and a woman, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I thought we were over this. And here's the thing. I saw a stat today from, I believe it was ABC News, that said, you know, public reporting shows that like 74% of Americans are in support.
It's a 70% issue.
Yeah, of gay marriage, that's a majority. And so it's like, it's only like the people who are still not over this. I don't know, because like
have you looked at the percentage of people that think that marriage is defined by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as between woman and woman, and then also looked at the percentage of the American population that doesn't believe that humans evolve, and that doesn't believe that the Earth is older than 10,000 years.
But I don't give
a shit,
though.
And doesn't believe that
right?
So it's not a mystery to me that there's still some people that are going to say this.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. But if you are in the party that says, oh, I'm going this route, like, you're not even in the majority. Like, you're not even gonna get majority support on it. So it just doesn't make sense. It seems like you just gotta take the L. I don't know. Like, you just gotta move on, right?
You are a YouTuber, my friend. Sometimes you just gotta take the L. You gotta fight the battles you can win.
Right. So I don't know.
Strategically. I mean, I'd be happy for them to take the L and then just let me decide not to get married while I have the option. Thank you. For now.
Well, I don't know. You know, to me, this whole states' rights issue is always kind of BS.
Well,
right?
Then when people say that, particularly at the hey, we're around the, I know no one gathers around a water cooler anymore, but at the water cooler level of political discussion, when people go, well, states' rights, it really has echoes of other things that people say that for. And the constitutional elements of federalism in our government between whether or not you place the legal authority to regulate or to legislate something at the state level or the federal level is the type of question that you ask in a class between scholars as you're writing a thing. And the idea is that you don't answer that question by going, oh, but if we give it to the states, I'll get this outcome. And if we give it to the Fed, I'll get this outcome.
Yeah.
I choose this one, right?
The
thing that annoys me the most and most consistently about politics today is that people put their own politics ahead of the Constitution. And that's because people don't care as much.
The people who wrote the Constitution did not care about gay people, right?
That's true.
You know, yeah, I don't think they had their interest in heart.
Well, it depends on how far you want to go back, because gay people weren't even
that identity wasn't a thing, right?
They also didn't give women the right to vote.
That's true. So
not that women are better than gay people.
So here's how I would discuss this. Here's how I would talk about this with somebody who would disagree with us on this, right?
Okay.
I would say marriage always will be a social construct, right? It's always just been a cultural idea. I grew up with this idea that marriage was a Christian thing, right? Marriage is an exclusive, it's a declaration between you and God that you are committed to this person, right? Mm. Which is just historically not true, right? Marriage has been around long before Christianity. It's been around long before Judaism even.
Yeah.
It's just an idea that other cultures have taken into their own, and some have similar trains of thoughts. It's just, for the most part, a dedication to another person for
your
life.
Lots of different versions of marriages, as would be expected if there was an intelligent, hyper-social primate species that reproduced asexually.
Right. So this idea that it has to be between a man and a woman is just very silly to me. That is religious thinking, like theological basis thinking into the legal system, which I disagree with, right? I don't think people have to live their lives based on what Christians think other people should be able to live their lives. And I feel like you can say that in a very secular way without, and you can still be a Christian and agree with that, right? Which, funny enough, the Mormon church, the LDS church, actually came out and is in agreement with this bill.
They support it, which is astounding because it's not, it's the Respect for Marriage Act, so it's gay marriage as well. And that's the one that's getting the most press because we all assume interracial marriage is settled, but it codifies that one as well because that's Loving, Virginia. That's another court case.
The crazy thing is,
the Mormons supporting both of those is still new because they're...
That is true, too.
They're a little over, I think, a little under half... They're less than 50 years since a black man could walk through the front door of
Church. People could be part of the priesthood.
Could be part of the priesthood.
Right. I was in the 70s.
Forgetting the technicality there. Yeah,
when that happened. But what's interesting about what the Mormon Church has said is that it's not that they are okay with gay marriage, right? They're not saying, oh, you can be gay. They actually explicitly say, no, if you act on same-sex attractions, you're still committing a sin.
Yeah.
But they just agree with this idea that you should be able to do that if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's still your choice, I guess.
I've never understood how you could, from a theological standpoint, argue that what God wants is for this to be illegal. I don't see any biblical support for it. I don't see any real support for it in any parts of the Christian tradition that would get.
If you're
because
a Christian
at no point
nationalist.
In the Bible, and forgive me, you know, I skipped the baguette. If you're a Christian nationalist, there's the nationalist part in there, and then there's also lots of things. I'm going to not say folkish movement and make comparisons to other parts of history, but from a Christian standpoint, at no point, unless I read a different Bible than everyone else, does Jesus say, go forth, go run for the Roman Senate so that you can pass laws that will be enforced by centurions on anyone you can find, and that's how they'll live the way I want them to live.
Yeah.
Forgive me for being that I was a Christian once, etc. I'm not a church-going man now.
Yeah.
But the Jesus that I was taught about said, hey, go out in pairs and tell people the best way to live life and bring them to the truth, and not go out, make sure you've got an AK and a sidearm, and then drag someone to jail if they don't do what I want them to.
Yeah.
One of these is the Jesus that I learned about. The other one was Tony Soprano. So I'm really not sure what leg people that want to argue about this from a theological standpoint have left.
No.
That's the only argument for it.
If anything, and not to go on too deep of a tangent, because I realized last time I hosted with you, we can go on some tangents. and I need to keep this car on the highway.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
We gotta stay within
the white
lines.
The world's biggest ball of yarn.
Yeah, right, okay. Right. So, like, if you look at the Old Testament in particular, if you remember the stories of the Israelites, right, they wanted a kingship, and there was supposed to be, God was like, okay, well, we can have judges, right, rule these nations and stuff, which was basically like this autocratic regime of, like, whatever this person says is interpreting the will of God. Like, the point I'm trying to make is, like, nowhere in the Bible does it support democracy, like, at all.
No.
God does not care about the majority votes of people within a, like, nation. Like, that's just not even a thing. I don't know. Like, so I don't know why it even has to get to that level when it comes to, like, talking about Christian nationalists, right, who are like, oh, well,
exactly.
we're a Christian
why
nation.
Why have
so
democracy
to,
at all? Just put me in charge?
They don't really care. Yeah, they don't really care. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, that and then, isn't there a verse in the Bible, and I wish I had the quotation that's obey the kings and the nations where you travel, for they've been
probably
appointed or put there. It's not anointed by
God. I don't
know. Where it's sort of like it was one of the ones that got thrown out a bunch when in the early aftermath of the 2016 election, because there were people saying who a couple years before had been talking about how Barack Obama was issuing in satanic Satan, who was going to Satan his Satan all over satanic Satanists. And then they turned around and after Trump was elected went, no, God loves whomever's in government. God says you gotta shut up. We win.
Yeah, you're right. There is some like passages that support that. You know, there's always passages that can support anything. So it's
almost
point,
there's
right?
a. There's
but if you wanted what Jesus thought, thought, right? My interpretation of Jesus is Jesus thought the world was literally going to end. So he didn't actually really care. He was more like...
Before this generation perishes from the earth.
Exactly. So it's like, I people use Jesus as like an example of like how we should model our organizations. And it's like, he didn't really care. He was more of an anarchist,
He was not an administrator.
No, right? He wasn't an administrator. But hey, you know what? It's... I think we have some really interesting calls. I'm seeing that people who want to talk to us.
That's you avoiding because you know we're at like tangent level.
We are at tangent level.
We'll get a caller.
I have to roll things back on course here. So we are going to
roll that roll.
Talk to some people and see what you guys have to say. But before we do that, Jamie, we always have to thank the patron of the week because every single week we always give a shout out to somebody who supports us on our Patreon. If you're interested in doing that, you can go to patreon.com/truthwanted. There's also a link to that in the description. And we love everybody that supports us on Patreon. But of course, we always give a special shout out every week. And this week's person is going to be LB, right? I'm seeing that LB.
LB.
LB. Yeah. Thank you so much, LB. I'm like on the side here.
I can't see. It's flipped. It's rotated.
It
left
is
to
rotated
right,
as LB. Well. Yeah. Yes. I got to get used to being back in the studio again because the vibe is different.
I am happy to help with that. I'm glad. This place, this home of mine. My Google Maps still is pretty sure that I work here.
that's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much, LB, and thank you to everybody that donates on the Patreon. Mm-hmm. You guys rock. And with that out of the way, let's go ahead and take our first call. Jamie, you ready?
Let's hit that phone.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so this is what I think is a contentious caller. This is David from California. And David, I'll read what the call screener wrote, David, and you can tell me if this is accurate. It says that you enjoy the show, but you think it's almost cruel to discuss these topics with lay people who aren't fully educated in the topic and cannot adequately defend their points. Is that a fair summary, David?
Yeah, I would say I'm contentious. And actually, I would say your conversation is more interesting than the conversation I was planning on having.
Oh, okay. Well, so do you have an issue with us like talking to people who call in? Who just don't know things or like what?
Let me give you background.
Of course.
First, after listening to you, I'm an atheist. I'm Jewish.
Amen.
Happy I was raised Jewish. When I listen to you, I'm thrilled I was raised Jewish because I don't have the baggage that other people, other religions.
Yeah, sure.
Put on the people.
Sure.
Of course, I asked my rabbi, he says, like, if you have a problem with being atheist, he tells me, try being an agnostic, then you get to keep all your holidays, which is cool.
Yeah.
But
it's really funny.
I said, still enjoy the show.
Good.
But my point was, you're not going to get William Lane Craig or Jordan Peterson to call up. And the people that do call up, they're not going to adequately defend, it's a hard position to defend in the first place. No one's really, in my opinion, no one's come up with a resonating argument that resonates with me in the past 2,000 years.
And I'm assuming when you talk about argument, you mean like an argument for God, right? That's what you're talking about?
Right.
Okay, yeah. So, okay, I have a couple thoughts about this. One, in this show in particular, right, for Truth Wanted, we don't just talk about God claims. Right. We talk about a lot of different claims that even rely outside of the religious spectrum sometimes, if we're just talking about the supernatural or even just like the medicinal. Right. So, in that all encompassing space, I fully believe that everybody has a right to voice themselves. And even if they don't do it well, what happens is when these conversations go out on YouTube and go out on, Spotify and all these places, other people can listen to that and really start to think, there's a lot of things that are happening here. For the caller, this may be the first time that they've actually talked to somebody about this, right? Like, I can't tell you how many times I've had people call in and say, oh, well, I don't get to talk about this with other people, so I'm glad I get to talk about this with you. So that's a good thing. I think I'm helping that person kind of think about their thoughts, even if they don't immediately come to the conclusion that I do, which I don't assume that they ever will. I think it is opening their minds a little bit to the other side of the conversation here. There's a lot of people who haven't watched this show, maybe watched other shows, but actually came to the conclusion of atheism, right, through watching other people talk about it, sometimes with better arguments than others, right? I've heard some great arguments from our callers, to be honest with you. I've heard some stuff that has had to make me think, not necessarily about the God stuff, but like other kinds of things that have made me really think about stuff. So I don't know. I don't want to be too elitist in my thinking and say, well, I can only talk to the big guys. I can only talk to like William Lane Craig and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that makes it kind of official. Because first of all, most people don't know who like most Christian Christian apologists are, right? Most people who are Christians, at least, they are listening to their pastors, they're listening to their community when they talk about these issues. And maybe, you know, they don't have that kind of broader experience on the spectrum of ideas that we talk about, because churches are not safe spaces to talk about ideas most of the time, right? Like, they pretend that they do, but they definitely aren't.
It's somewhat like, this is going to be a strange analogy, but like, you know, when you're a kid and you come home and your parents, you can always talk to us. We're a safe group to talk to. Well, if you're trying to ask about this, that, or the other, you can ask about things that you're not going to want them to know you're asking about. And the same thing with the church. Actually, on Talk Heathen, when I was hosting it with Eric, we had this caller that called in 1 week and went from a like, hey, I'm not sure about this perspective. And then we talked to him and he said he was going to read stuff and ask around and call back next week. And he called back next week and said, hey, no, I'm free. Basically, he deconverted. And part of it was he went and spoke to his pastor, and his pastor told his parents, and, you know, he ended up getting put out, but he was happy about it. So it's sort of interesting to, people need a place to go.
Yeah.
And if the market were oversaturated with, you know, incredibly well produced in terms of technical ability and sound, thank you, Vern, and everyone volunteering behind that booth,
right,
and other people were doing it better than me, I wouldn't want to crowd out the space. But what I saw as a value when I first found an ACA show was people actually having a back and forth conversation about this that I hadn't heard before at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really got me thinking, because in my life I'd thought, oh, well, that story, that doesn't really make sense. Or like, I'd put the story of like Noah's Ark on a shelf in my mind and not tried to associate it with anything because it didn't mean anything. And until you had people talking about it, and sure, a lot of those people are not going to be William Lane Craig, but it's not like we're hanging up on William Lane Craig and passing out flyers to the guy on the corner who's pretty sure that he is Jesus. So I'm wondering, is it just that we're talking to people that don't have like a developed philosophical argument,
or do you mean we're
picking the lowest caliber?
I'm in agreement with what you're saying.
Okay.
We need a safe place to discuss our doubts. I'm active in 12-step programs, and I deal with people all the time who have problems with the higher power. I try to bring them to a place where, you know, your higher power doesn't have to be supernatural. It just has to be something that's available and makes sense to you.
Yeah.
And I leave off, you know, if they want it, if God works for them, fine, as long as they're not flying planes into buildings, I'm good with that.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Wait, have we flipped your mind on this then? Are you in agreement with us now?
No, but what I'm saying is, I'm saying, now, like I said, there's, of course, there's valid conversations, and you're making, you know, a place to talk about do we have free will?
Yeah.
If you believe in God, what is God's will? Those are great conversations. But when you have people calling up that are just trying to challenge you and trying to say, you know, that if you're an atheist, like I was just watching a YouTube video where this guy was saying that if you're an atheist, the worst thing is humanity.
Yeah.
There's nothing you're not going to have an intelligent conversation there.
Well, that's another thing, Dave.
In my opinion, you're going to rip him to pieces.
Sure. And here's the thing, David.
It seems like you're being a bit of a bully when that's.
Well,
when you left that kind of,
I disagree. I'd say we're standing up to a bully, because that person is going to inflict that opinion in that way on anyone. And if I have to be the kid that stands up and takes that on the jaw so that everyone else in the playground can see, actually, it's not that bad when this bully comes from you, I'm willing to do that.
Yeah. You know, like, and when we speak out against, first of all, every host has different approaches, right? About how they approach a caller like that, which Jamie and I both have had experience with that, right?
Where neither of us is Matt.
It's the guy that calls in and is like, oh, I'm just going to like try to rip this guy to shreds. And like, you know, they're not interested in having their minds changed. But standing up to that and being bold in the face of a challenge like that, that can be empowering for people as well, right? That's another function. Like for myself, when I first was watching ACA shows and I saw people were not only defending their position, but like standing against people who were calling them nasty things and saying, no, this is right. What I'm defending is right. And what you're defending is not only wrong, mm-hmm. but sometimes even dangerous and bigoted and all kinds of the other things that go with that, right? So like there is a value there. If it's not for the caller, it's for the viewers sometimes, right? I tried to take a very caller-centered approach. I treat every caller with the same respect. At least I try to. I'm not perfect. But that being said, there is still value to that for the people who watch this, even more so than maybe the caller sometimes. Right, David? I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I was asking, and maybe I forget. See, I come from a place where when I hear I grew up with people like that getting in my face.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to hell because I don't accept somebody.
Yeah.
And I grew up thinking it was laughable. I never felt threatened by it.
Yeah. Well, but some people do.
It's hard to me to see that you're standing up to a bully because I've never seen them as being powerful. I just was, stay out of the laboratory, please.
David, when I first became an atheist, I was in college. All right. I was still living with my parents. At the time, or I had to move back in with my parents. You know, I didn't have a lot of social power or mobility. I couldn't, you know, and not to say that my parents were oppressors. I don't believe that. My parents are good people, but they have problematic beliefs, and that caused issues in my relationships with them and also with my community and other people that knew me as a Christian, right? So like in that time of my life, I didn't feel empowered at all. I didn't know any other atheists in real life really before I started getting involved in the community and stuff. Like, and so like, again, like seeing people, other people talk about it, that does have a sense of empowerment for people who don't have that, right? I'm glad that I can be a voice for somebody, honestly. As narcissistic as that sounds, I mean it in the best way possible, right?
It's the same good feeling you feel when you do anything good that helps someone else.
Yeah.
It just so happens that this also means you get to show up on camera and everyone knows your name.
And sometimes that means dunking on fools, okay? Sometimes that means dunking on fools. I'm not going to dispute that. But we can do it in a way that makes sense for people, right? We can do it in a way that can be productive, and we can do it in a way that causes people to think about things that they otherwise may not think about. Ultimately, that is my
point. I would add on to that. I agree with everything you'd say.
Yeah.
I'd add the one clarifying factor for me is that if a fool needs to be dunked on, it's because they came up into your paint dunk on you.
They came into my court. You come into my house.
You came onto my court.
On the day of my daughter's wedding.
That I got to give you. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, David, have we convinced you of why we do what we do here? What do you think?
I have a better understanding.
Okay.
In a sense, like I said, because I didn't have the same experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I told people I don't believe in a supernatural God or that, everybody's, you know, said, so who cares?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so it was a lot easier for me. So
yeah.
I'm not, you know, your focus.
Right. I came from Waco, Texas, David. Okay. I don't know where you came from. It's probably not Waco, Texas. You know what I mean? Like, I think that is, and I mean this in the most sensitive term possible. There is a privilege that comes with being a non-believing person in a majority non-believing area, right? In an area where people do not care.
There are better and worse places.
Sure.
There are easier and harder places to live life as a non-believer.
And there's a spectrum to that too. I'm not saying that I had the worst time possible. I would rather take my position than some of the ex-Muslims I've talked to that come
to
from Muslim majority.
From
you know what I mean? It's
Saudi
like, there's different spectrums to that. But like, that was still a struggle that I had to deal with. And now that I'm an adult, now that I pay my own bills and stuff, like, it's not as big of a problem. But I had to transition to that. I had to like figure that out. And so hopefully, you know, what we do is a resource for other people who are also figuring out and also just like are passionate about these issues, like who still think that it's important despite the fact that they may even be from regions where like belief doesn't play as big a role, at least Christianity doesn't play as big a role, right? So anyway, David, I think that's all the time that we got for this call. But I appreciate the discussion.
Thanks. Nice talking with you.
Nice talking with you, too.
Thanks for calling in, David.
It's important. I'm using a lot of Gen Z terminology today, but it's important to vibe check us, Jamie. It's important to figure out why we're doing this.
Are you saying it's important for me to vibe check
you all? No. For everybody to figure out what we're doing here, right? Because what are we doing here? Right?
Yeah.
Are we here to
otherwise
shut people down?
Otherwise you lose the script real fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Are we here to like make fun of... I'm not here to make fun of people. Like, you know, sometimes people look bad when they make their calls, and it is a call-in show. They have the to call in to talk to us. I'm not going up to people.
If someone,
like, you know,
if you were, if it was a like, I don't know, MMA open call, and you were in the octagon, and it was like some sort of event that they did for newcomers, and you were a champion, and then someone showed up in a clown outfit and tried to beat you with a squeaky rubber duck, no one could really blame you for making that person tap out. As humorous and cartoonish and circusiousness that brings, but
you have a beautiful mind for analogies, Jamie.
Thank you. I don't know
where your brain. I don't know what you do to come up with these. But
yes, you can buy me dinner.
Anyway, I appreciate when people want to know, hey, why are we doing this? Is this a good? I'm convinced that this is a good. But if there's better ways for us to do what we do, I'd love to hear about that too.
Yeah. But I'd like things that are good to be better and things that are bad to not be bad.
Yeah,
to be. That, good, which is better than bad. Furthermore,
yes.
That,
okay.
It's right. Helpful to continue answering the question because there's always going to be a new caller that's going to wonder, are they just doing this because there's some punks on
right.
the internet?
Yeah.
And punks on the internet exist.
That's fair.
It's just not us.
I would agree with that.
And I wanted to get that before we move to the next
right.
caller.
Before we get to the next caller, I have to tell folks about other ways they can support this show.
Okay,
so
yeah.
One of the ways is, of course, Patreon. I already mentioned that. The link to that's actually tiny.cc/PatreonTW. You can also go to that other link. And you can get your name shouted out in the show if you haven't done that already. I recommend it because, I think it's fun. But hey, there's also other ways you can support the show. One of them is by being a member. If you're watching this on YouTube and you like to watch the show live, you can be a member and you can get emojis in the chat if you're doing that, and your name gets highlighted in the chat as well. And you'll also be immune to chat timeouts. And you can do that for as little as 99 cents a month, which I think is a pretty good deal. You know, 99 cents a month,
That's pretty good.
That's not a whole lot.
That's an item on the dollar menu I'd buy.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a dollar store purchase right
yes.
there. So if you're interested in supporting us that way and you just want to give a little bit, that's a way you can give a little bit. And another way, if you don't even like giving a little bit, if even giving a little bit is too much, here's another thing you can do. You can shop on Amazon.com, and you can support the ACA by visiting tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA. And if you designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity, Amazon will donate a portion of their profit directly to the ACA. Okay. So if you're already shopping on Amazon anyway, that's a way you can support us, and it's not even going to be an extra thing for you.
It's the easiest pitch in the world. Do you like the things you like? Do you want them to still exist? Do you want them to be the best version of themselves? But you don't really want to do anything or change any aspect of your life at all? Amazon Smile. Put us in there, live your life, and hey, the things you like become better.
Yeah, that's... Boom. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for that.
I work in sales.
Yeah, okay. I can tell. We're going back to calls here, and let's see. This is an interesting one, I think. Nate from California. Nate, you're going to have to explain exactly what do you want to talk to us about today, because our call screener does a great job of describing things, but I want to hear from you exactly what it is you want to talk to us about.
Excellent, will do. Good to be talking to you guys. So the the idea is that, and this show is called Truth Wanted, right? So I thought we should probably talk a little bit about the truth, if you may.
Good idea.
So yeah. Never heard that one before.
Yes. Okay, so we all know the story in the Bible, right? Jesus Christ having been born to Mother Mary, and Mother Mary, his mom, not having actual biological relations with anybody.
Allegedly,
with anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, allegedly, right, in the story. And then we have Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at it, right, in the animal kingdom, there are tons and tons of examples of, I think it's called apartogenesis, right? Asexual reproduction. Or you've got different kinds of species of python that are known to do that, or Komodo dragons.
Sure. At the vertebrate level. Because, I mean, that's how bacteria...
Yeah, even some birds and
all of, all of those things.
Bacteria and everything, I'm talking about species that look like us with limbs and the same body plan, right? They all have...
we're all related.
We're all very closely related. Now, so we as human beings, let's assume for a quick second that this just happened. I'm saying it is, I'm speaking the language of possible, impossible, not likely, unlikely, right? So let us say that was the only documented case of asexual reproduction in human beings in the history of mankind.
Okay.
Like, let's say give the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Christian fable, Christian story, then it also follows then that Jesus Christ should not be male at all. We all are referring to him as a he all this time. In fact, I was listening to the show, right? And you were referring to him as a he, and I was thinking, that's a little funny, because if he is born of a born out of by apartogenesis, right?
Okay.
Then he should not be a male at all. He should be a clone.
Yes,
a close match.
So Nate, to me, this kind of discussion is like when people talk about what if the Star Trek universe was real, and what are the implications if this thing happened, and therefore accept, right? It's like, it's not that I'm saying that what you're saying is invalid, but we're also talking about the same book that also talks talks about a man walking on water and rising from the dead after 3 days and changing water into wine. I mean, well, you know, different books talk about those, but you know what I mean? It's the same part of that narrative, right? So it's like, I don't have to give particular credence or special scrutiny to this claim and say like, well, here's the logical implications. He wouldn't be a male. I mean, like, yeah, you're probably right. I'm not even disagreeing with you, but
Okay. So I think it's worth saying that this is all a conversation that happens with, oh, okay, so let's just take the Bible and start there, kind of.
Yeah, I wouldn't even start.
But I actually that basis is sort of where my question starts, because depending on how you want to say that, right? Like, if you accept the story of Jesus's birth, I think there's two versions of it in the Gospels.
If you're talking about up to his birth, then yes, because Matthew has the whole story about going to Egypt and stuff
in the
like that.
in the Gospels. Yeah, there counted as one. Yeah, they got a bunch of stories about Jesus. So sorry, but
very academic.
In that point, it also talks about throughout the whole book, God is the Father of the world. God being his father and Mary being his mother. And when it uses the word father, it doesn't use a gender neutral parental term. It uses that specifically. And it also says that the offspring of Mary is, you know, son of the father and then also God made incarnate. It doesn't say, type out the genome of Jesus the way that we would like in order to understand this human that is also supposed to be 100% God and not human, but also 100% human and not God.
Human.
Yeah. The thing that I have is, if you take that one part, born from Mary through, not abiogenesis, I forget the term, then this. Well, so it doesn't quite say that. It's part of the miracle is that by the word of God, Mary was pregnant, and then we can go back through the history of translations to get to when people started saying, oh, no, she was a virgin, and when people didn't say that, because the genealogy of Jesus has to flow through David, and if he's not the father, it creates theological problems. But it's an interesting question in terms of like, okay, but what does a Jesus person being born without a father really mean, right? It's the same type of question of like, does Adam have a belly button? If you didn't have an umbilical cord.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right, exactly. And I just looked it up. So the correct term, I think, is parthogenesis.
Parthogenesis.
Partho-G-E. So I was just looked it up while you were talking. Yeah, I mean, I do fully agree with the perspective. The way the angle I was coming in from was to say that if we spoke to any Christian, right, any culturally sophisticated, if you may, Christian, right, they will accept that, hey, all these things in the Bible, they'll put their money on it, right? A lot of it. They'll say all these things are real. Then the argument is, if everything else is real, even this has got to be real, that you've gotten it all wrong for 2,000 years.
No, but they would just say it's magic, though. They would just say, well, God can do anything, and, you know, it just happened that way. Like, we know logically, we know scientifically, you can't turn water into wine without, like, using extreme nuclear
methods. Jesus.
Well, you can't. Well, I mean, you can, like, create new elements and stuff, right? But, like, that involves, like, you know, particle physics that wasn't available to Jesus.
Significantly less prayer than was previously suggested.
So it's like, I don't think if you brought this to any Christian, they would even blink at it, to be honest. I think they would just say, like, well, God can do anything. This is just another one of God's miracles, is that this happened the way it was, you know? Yeah. So, and I don't know.
To your point, though, I have heard sort of people, you know, they're not, I don't want to say casual Christian, but like Christian is just a part of who they are, but they're mostly serious about it. Say when presented like, oh yeah, well, you know, they say God didn't create the world, but God could have created the world with a big bang or with a light or with whatever. So it's God. And then they put it there. So if you came to them with, oh, you know, Jesus was produced through, and I've forgotten the term again already, but through this term, they might find that weird. They might find that interesting, but I think it wouldn't to them contradict the broader meaning of the Bible to them or the place of Christianity in their life.
Yeah.
But it is sort of interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know there were species of pythons that did that.
Oh, yeah. There is I remember having read it somewhere, and, you know, I might be wrong, but that's what I remember having read. Pythons and several reptiles, birds, a certain species of eagle, actually.
I knew that clownfish could, I think, are one of the species that can change their biological sex in order to balance out the number of male and female fish
turtles.
In there.
Yeah, yeah.
Turtles.
So Jesus is a clownfish.
Yeah.
Or Mary
said it,
a clownfish.
Yeah.
Hey, one or the other. Anyway,
the other.
I think that's all the time we got for this call, Nate, because we do got to move on. But I do appreciate you calling in with your perspective on that.
And, thanks for calling in.
I would stress, though, like, for anybody who wants to go, who wants to talk to a Christian and be like, well, scientifically, you have to think about X, Y, and Z. I guarantee they won't listen. It's just not, when you're already taught to, first of all, have a distrust of the scientific establishment, but also when you're taught that a God can just do anything, then anything's possible, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, the incredulity then, there doesn't work.
Yeah, because from that perspective, when told something from a scientific sample, either it's comports with what God has made true or the scientists are lying. And then it's one of those two things. And then also, if it's something that you're telling them that you have to explain, it might just be not one of their interests. And so they're not going to bite too much.
Yeah, some Christians, they don't.
You get that. It's kind of like a, well, this is, you know, what I believe my religion, but it's not that big and I'm not going to pay attention.
Right.
Well, it was a local flood is my.
Yes.
Like, oh, really? So the whole point of the story is contradicted by the facts in it.
Yeah.
Because if it's not a global flood, never mind.
Okay. And I hear what you're saying here, Jamie.
I had that conversation recently.
Listen. We have to go now to one of my personal favorite parts of the show. We have the promo for you guys. We want to show you some of the other shows that happen at the Atheist Community of Austin. And we're going to play that for you now. Check it out.
Mean by this term alpha male?
The term is misappropriated from wolves having an alpha male in the pack, which it turns out is not true. But even so, people aren't wolves. So it wouldn't really have mattered.
Science checks out, yeah.
And they have this idea in the metaphysical market right now that if you have a piece of shungite and you put it by your computer, it'll suck up all the EMF waves so it doesn't affect your health.
Faith is not a reliable pathway to truth, and we can f- a lot of stuff up relying on faith.
Oh, trust. If somebody quotes to me a Hebrews 11:1 one more time, I swear I will stab myself in the right eye.
We're not focusing in this conversation about the politics or the emotions or the philosophical ramifications of transgender people in sports. We're actually talking about the science.
Even if you could prove it to me, I would be the first one to say you're right, and I would no longer be an atheist, but I would still be right here on the show telling everybody that that God is not worthy of worship. The God of the Bible, the God of the Quran, the God of these religions is a monster, and if he's real, I am his enemy.
And we are back to the program. Real quickly, before we move on to our next callers, I want to let you guys know that we do have a merch store. If you're not familiar with it already, which you should be because we talk about it every week. But if you haven't looked at it, you should because it's a fun place to get cool stuff. And every month, we always add a new shirt. This month is my very own cousin, Rob Boss. Rob Boss's painting. Jamie doesn't know what I'm talking about here. He's looking at me funny.
Yeah.
But if you watch the Halloween episode, Jamie, you would know that my cousin, Rob Boss, got to host the program and did a wonderful painting for us.
Okay.
So you should definitely check that out if you haven't already.
Yeah. I was doing some very different things on the weekend of my birthday that make it more difficult for me to remember many things. So no, I missed that one.
Well, you know, it's recorded. So you can go watch that if you want to. I think you should. I think you should. It's a good one. Likewise as well, if you want to listen to other shows, Jamie, but you don't have time to watch stuff, we have have a solution for you. We have an audio-only channel that you can go to. It's tiny.cc/AENpodcasts, and that's going to be your one-stop shop for all of our shows in audio form. And you'll find Truth Wanted on there. You'll find Atheist Experience Talk Heathen. Yeah. All of our productions are uploaded there in an audio format. So check that out if you haven't already.
Sham, wow, unbelievable. How much does it cost? Is it free?
What?
Free? What an incredible offer. That's where you get your podcast.
All right. Sorry.
To explain, I'm not crazy. It's just the most fun thing in the world is for him to have that moment where he's like,
This is the problem with knowing things. That you know what gets me, Jamie. So yes. That's
you got me. You got me one real good right before the show started.
Right.
So I'm taking my on air. No.
Well, speaking of show, we have a show to get back
to.
So let's go ahead and do that.
Who's our next caller?
I think we have a couple people. First of all, if you're on the line, please stay with us. We want to talk to everybody. But I want to talk to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, who's calling in from Texas. Emmanuel, you are live on Talk.
I was going to say Talk Heathen.
Truth Wanted. Oh my goodness!
I bring the show
Your aura, your energy right now, Jamie, is
screwing me up. I'm not even a regular host.
No. Emmanuel, you are live on Truth Wanted. What's going on?
Hello. How are you guys?
Doing well. I'm having a good time.
He just said he believes in auras, but okay.
Yeah. Well, that didn't happen. But
now, what did you want to talk to us about today?
I would like to say, you know, you seem like a very, you know, it seems like a very good place, you know, to talk about freely about why, you know, what we believe.
Yeah.
Because I am currently, you know, involved. I'm currently affiliated with Pentecostal Christianity.
Okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with it or not.
Very familiar.
So it's like a denomination.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and when I talk about, you know, theologically, you know, different, you know, I read scripture and when I go and, you know, try to talk to them, most of them, they'll show me like I'm wrong or, you know, I'm like misquoting and stuff. So like they back me into the corner, but you know, I like calling to this kind of shows because they're very free to talk to.
Good. I'm glad. That means that we're doing our job right. If you feel comfortable calling in, that's what I'm aiming for. So what did you want to talk to us specifically about, Emmanuel?
Oh, I wanted to say that, you know, I was not always, you know, I was not always in Christianity.
Okay.
So even though I was raised in a Christian household, at the age of like 14 or 15, I started questioning a lot of things. So I became very skeptical of Christianity, religion. And I said like, this has to be made up. And because a lot of things didn't make, you know, sense to me back then.
Okay.
And I started questioning, you know, during my teenage years. Sure. Now it's been like 9 years back, you know, when I'm looking at it, you know, at the age of 15 is the time that, you know, I received Christ. Again, and you know, I became a bond servant of him at the age of 16, and it's been like 8 years of journey in Christianity. getting back to the point, what do you think, you guys? What do you guys actually think about? You know, is there like a good reasonable believers out there, or do you think like all believers are like illogical?
Sure. That's a complicated question.
To me, there's a... Here, let me go with this. I would say the thing that's going to give me the...
Because I'm saying this and it's... Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. Well, it's the thing that's giving me the most pause is when you say, do you think that there is a good reason to believe, or do you think that all believers are unreasonable? So there's a slight difference in the way those two things are termed where I don't see them as... mutually exclusive. So I don't think if you are attempting to evaluate the truth claim of there was a guy named Jesus who was also God and he died for your sins and the basically just like the crucifixion and the miracle of salvation through it, I don't see sufficient reasoning or evidence to believe that. However, that doesn't mean that when I'm evaluating the ability of a person to reason, that I think if they conclude that clearly there's just something going on wrong. Well, there you are raised in a situation, you live in a situation, you have a lived experience, and those things affect the conclusions that people draw. And very, very, very rational, very, very, very reasonable people believe all kinds of things. And that can be independent of or inside of religion. So I would say, no, I don't think that there's something wrong or irrational or unreasonable about believers, but I don't think that there's anything particularly rational or believable about the resurrection.
Oh, okay. Speaking of the resurrection, you think there should be a reliable evidence that Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead? Or do you think we could just accept it by faith?
I think if anybody tells you that they've risen from the dead or they know of somebody that has risen from the dead, you should have very high criteria for that, right? Because that's an extraordinary claim. And what we mean by extraordinary claim is that is out of the ordinary experience. Emmanuel, if you told me you went to Taco Bell today, I mean, it would be weird if you lied about it, but that's within reason, right? That's certainly possible. I can't verify that. And I don't really care enough to verify that. But if you told me that, I'll probably believe it on face value because, again, it's weird that you'd lie about it otherwise. But if I told you, Emmanuel, my uncle rose from the dead last week, I mean, you would probably be skeptical, right? You have a good reason to be skeptical. It's not something to be ashamed of. And so in the same way, even though we grew up, we probably share a similar background, Emmanuel, that we both grew up around Christians, right, where it was normal to believe this.
Yeah.
We've normalized this extraordinary claim so much that we haven't even really sat and thought about how reasonable is it to believe in this stuff. And when Jamie and I have looked at it, and as thoroughly as, you can critique us how thoroughly we have, but I believe that we have. And by looking at the evidence, it doesn't seem to me that there's any reason to suggest that we should believe the narrative of the gospel accounts, that is, that a man named Jesus rose from the dead 2,000 years ago. That specific claim to me and most other claims that Christians make don't seem to be historically reliable. They don't seem to be scientifically reliable. They don't seem to have any reliable method of demonstrating their truth, right?
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't grow up in America, so I'm not American. I actually came to the United States very recently.
Okay.
So the place that I grew up is more religiously, diversified.
Okay.
So we have a lot of Muslims. We had a different beliefs that is different from America, especially the Christianity that I was affiliated in was very minority.
Sure.
So a lot of people didn't believe what I believed.
Yeah, that makes sense. Pentecostalism is a mostly American thing, right?
Yeah.
The largest groups of Pentecostals Christians are here in the United States. So that makes
sense. Yeah, over there, we're 3%, 4%, 5% of the entire population.
Sure.
So we're very minority.
Okay.
But there are different kind of Christianities like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Orthodox, all of it. And the thing is, when I start studying and getting deep into New Testament, especially I read the New Testament a lot. Mm. So when I read it, what I found out was, a lot of New Testament was written by Apostle Paul.
Yes.
So especially when I'm looking to Acts, especially from the 13th chapter, all of the narration was by Paul. So Paul keeps saying that this thing had to be understood not by human intellectual, but by the Spirit. So what I found out was in order to believe that the scripture was really inspired by God or Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 10:41, I think you can't actually reason out and come to that conclusion, but you have to understand in the Spirit.
Okay.
Because
let me counter this then, Emmanuel.
Okay.
Let me ask you, if I told you I had $1 million and I said, you should believe this because if you believe it, it's spiritually, it's something that you should, right? It's not a claim that we can look at rationally. It's just something spiritual. I mean, would you buy that? Simply yes or no, right? You probably wouldn't, right? That doesn't make sense. You wouldn't verify somebody's material wealth that way. And if I told you again, going back to the example, all right, my uncle rose from the dead. And if you asked for proof of that, and I said, well, you have to believe it spiritually. I mean, I'm assuming that wouldn't be convincing to you, right? So in the same way, we are talking about what is ostensibly a historical event. It wasn't just available to Christians if it happened, right? It happened to non-believers. It happened to people of all sorts of backgrounds who allegedly, saw parts of the events of Jesus' life take place, right? There's a couple of Christians who were the people who actually saw him rise from the dead, but just talking about the Christian narrative in general, right? So this isn't something that we can just say, oh, well, we have to be spiritual about this and just rely on the Spirit for intuition, because you can believe anything that way. I mean, that is literally how a lot of cults in this country work. And I know that sounds hyperbolic, but if you ask the people who are hey, why didn't the UFOs come pick us up? during the 1993, like during the Hale Bopp comment, right? They would say, "Well, that's a spiritual thing. It goes beyond the material, right? You know, you can use this kind of reasoning for anything. It doesn't hold up. It's not reliable." So, with that in mind, you know, after I've talked about this, I mean, do you still think that this kind of reasoning is reliable? Do you think it's something that is worth using?
Hey, okay, I'll answer that. But you think Christianity is a cult?
Well, I didn't say Christianity was a cult.
So
I'm saying that other cults. Okay. Right? Modern cults use that exact same reason where you just have to trust us spiritually. Don't evaluate the evidence. Just lean on the spirit on this one. Like that is a tactic that is used to get people to believe something that they otherwise can't demonstrate to be true, right? And if something can be demonstrated to be true, you should use that reason. Like if I told you I had $1 million, I should be able to show you that. I shouldn't just be able to say, well, you have to just believe me, bro. Yeah. You know, like that doesn't work out.
It gets to a point where it's like you want to believe someone because they're your friend, but they've said they've got a girlfriend and that you can meet them. Oh, no, you can't meet them. Oh, no, she goes to a different school. Oh, can we go there? Oh, no, that school's in Canada. At a certain point, you need something solid beyond just... a trust of it. And then with, because I'm actually I don't know which flavor or if there's a particular flavor to your Pentecostalism, but when people come forward and say, oh no, I've seen miracles performed in this day and age, I go, oh, okay, but if we wanted to prove that, for example, miracle healings, I always go, okay, but wouldn't you, if you could, perform a miracle in the name of Christ and heal someone's illness, take a quick trip down to whichever hospital was closest walking distance and prove beyond anyone's doubt the glory of the risen Lord. If you just went down the cancer wing and cured everyone there. Well, at a certain point, it's sort of like if God can do all of these wonderful things and you say that he wants to do all these wonderful things, why doesn't he? Where's the meat? Where's the evidence? Because like Dan said, believing with the spirit is the same sort of sentiment that I see when people want to tell me that their sports team is the best sports team, even when they're not ranked number one.
Yeah, I did not say believing in the spirit. I said knowing in the spirit, first of all. And that I use that in reference to 1 Corinthians 2. So Paul said that in order for a person to know the depth of God, which cannot be reached by human intellectual, 1 Timothy 2, we could read that. And people cannot know the depth of God by their human understanding.
Yeah.
And I read the history of it. And, you know, they lived in a time where, you know, Greek philosophy was very famous at the time. Mm-hmm. So in Greek philosophy, they're very, you know, rational. So they ask everything. And that's why Paul said that the Jews wanted miracles, but the Greeks wanted wisdom, but we preach Christ King and Him crucified.
Yeah.
Because the reason why I'm saying it is you could know that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, but you could not know it through the human intellect.
Yeah, but okay, wait, Emmanuel, are you saying that the people who witnessed Christ's resurrection didn't know it through the intellect?
Yeah, because it was revealed by the Spirit, because 1 Corinthians 15 said that it was talking about the resurrection. First of all, Jesus did not resurrect and...
Oh, Emmanuel, are you still there? Oh, Emmanuel, if you are there, we can't hear you. Maybe you accidentally muted yourself or something.
Should we give him a second? And
I'm going to return it to the queue, and hopefully crew can let us know
back to him. Come on back.
Don't hang up. Come on back. But we are, you know, getting close at the end of time. I mean, really, we are at the end of the time for that call. Maybe we can keep talking to him, or maybe we can talk to somebody else and then go back to him.
Yeah. Well, that and maybe we can touch base and then, get him to call back next week. And, you know, he's quoting Bible passages. And
I was once a good church-going, Bible-carrying boy. I'm not as up on it as I used to be.
Yeah.
And we can, you know, trade notes, swap books, and come back next week.
Look, I mean, I think this is a very simple thing, right? If I asked you, did the prophet Muhammad see Jerusalem on a flying horse? And if I told you had to believe that based on the spirit or based on the intellect, what would you choose, right?
Because I would ask you to appeal to my intellect, and I would also, well, I have a joke.
Well, it's, you know, it's like the spirit thing, it seems like it's only there because you can't prove it otherwise, right?
Yeah.
That's it. That's like, if you had the intellect to do it, you would do it. And there's the thing. If it didn't matter, if Jesus' miracles didn't matter intellectually,
then why would you ever offer?
Why would he do miracles in the first place? I mean,
if it wasn't to persuade people who thought, oh, I can't just take it on your word alone. Show me something.
If I
here's
said,
a miracle, and I say, oh, I can't just take it on the word of someone who heard the word of a thing, all the way down, copies of
exactly.
translations of copies. If I can't take it on that word, suddenly, because I'm in this, because it's the year 2000, I deserve less, or God is going to treat his people differently now than he did then. An unchanging, perfectly merciful God is going to change what he does to be less merciful.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot to ask, and I can't give it.
It's a lot to ask. It doesn't make a lot of sense, quite frankly. It's not something that you would willingly believe. If I told you I was the Messiah, you're not going to take it on face value. You want me to be able to do stuff that can show you. But
I'm
going to
wait till the end of your pitch and go, okay, so what does it cost to join your little club, Dan?
Right. Real quick. So just FYI, I'm in studio right now with Jamie. And if you miss tonight's show, if you can't make it, you can still come on Sunday, November 20th, to the studio where I am going to be here with Forrest Valkai. Forrest is going to be hosting with me. And of course, we're going to have Atheist Experience going on that day as well. So if you want to go do that, if you ever want to come on Fridays, the doors are always open at 6 p.m. and on Thursdays as well for Psychosexuality. If you want to come this Sunday, you can come in as soon as noon to get in for that. Parking is going to be limited. It's pretty much wherever you can find a legal spot. And if you can't make it this month, well, we are going to continue to try to commit to doing at least one live show for each show once a month. So check that out if you are in the area.
Or just to clarify, you meant a legal spot, because it kind of ran together. It sounded like you said it's going to be wherever you can find a legal spot. And I was like, well, do you mean an illegal spot? Or
legal spot, right? Yeah, I know it's
illegal or illegal.
I think you illegal? Know. I think you know what I mean. I think you know what I mean.
But do you have to, hard evidence,
Jamie? You
got to
believe me in the spirit.
Do you, to prove that Jamie, I know what you mean?
You got
to
believe me in the spirit.
You beat me too.
So, any more information that you have, or any questions you have on that information, you can go to atheist-community.org for any news on that and other stuff. Also, I want to tell you guys about how you can contact the show. If you want to complain to me and say how I'm a stupid doo-doo head, do that. It's truth@atheist-community.org. And if you have complaints about the ACA in general, it may be Jamie's a doo-doo head, but you don't know where to find him.
Complain to him.
Anybody else, you can complain to me, but any other host, you can talk to tv@atheist-community.org. And also see, again, what's going on our website, atheist-community.org.
In some ways, you got the best email address, because yours is just truth.
It's just truth, right?
Truth.
It's just truth. It's
at atheist-community. Truth.
Hey, you want to know the truth? Email it.
Truth.
Email it.
Yeah. That's like a real flex. Name as your email.
It is a powerful email address, and I'm very happy with it. One more thing before we get to the next call. We have a Facebook group, and it's run by fans for the fans. So if you're interested in that, go to tiny.cc/FBTWG to interact with other fans to talk about the show. But don't do that now. Right now, you are listening/watching. Yeah.
So wait here.
Wanted.
But afterwards, in the fans group, I'm sure it's going to get lit. And with that many fans there, after it's lit, it's going to be fire.
Right.
So stop on by. Have a good time. See his face do that again if I can get him with my...
We're moving on. We're going to talk to Heath. We're talking to Heath. Calling from Canada. Heath, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's going on?
Hi, I just wanted to talk about the old saying I keep hearing about how there's no atheists in foxholes.
Yeah. Pretty gross.
I think it's not true.
Yeah.
It had a lot to do with my way I was raised. I was raised an atheist. And when I was a fisherman, I had some close calls, very kind of slow close calls. Like, we were fishing on Pierce Canal and the Nass River, which is just south of the Alaskan Panhandle. And we were taking more risks than we should have, because the province changed the regulations on fishing and made us take absurd risks to keep the boat. So we're in this really strong tide, and our trawl net gets hooked up on a log, because there's a lot of logging up around there, and the tide is pulling us along, and it's just rolling the boat over, swings the boat 90 degrees, so now we're sideways to the current, and we're still basically anchored to the ocean floor. by very high up in the mast. And it's pulling us over further and further and further. And I had a lot of time to go, oh, this is it. I'm going to die. And it got to the point where and this boat lies pretty high in the water. And I'm standing, my boots are in the ocean. Like, we're rolled over so far, I'm like standing in the ocean. And the gunwales are completely swamped. And because of the risk of losing the boat, that happened two more times that week. That happened three times in a week.
Wow.
Where I was just like, oh, this is it. I'm screwed. And I've had other close calls, tree planting and in construction, but they were all there and gone in an instant.
Yeah.
It's like a tough week.
If National Geographic has taught me anything, it's that commercial fishing is a damn scary thing. Okay. So I believe it. You know, that's pretty wild.
It's right up there with ice road driving.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but yeah. Go ahead, Heath.
Well, it wasn't until years later that I even made the connection to the foxholes. Like, the idea of thinking about God at a time like that was the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I swear I didn't connect it for years.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to dunk on people. Like, I know this has got to do with how I was brought up. Mm. But there is a basic, just like, that saying is wrong.
It's wrong on multiple levels. It's, first of all, it's a self-report, right? There again, I'm using a lot of Gen Z language tonight. It's a self-report. Because what it's saying is that you should be afraid of God. You should be afraid of your position in the afterlife. And this is like, this is how this works. This is how this relationship works. You have to have respect for this higher power or face the consequences. And that's why they say this. They're like, oh, there's no atheists in foxholes, because reasonable people are going to be fearful of their afterlife consequences when it's most immediate a threat, right? And that's what it is. Like, a lot of people's religion is a fearful one. Mine was definitely somewhat based in fear. I was definitely afraid of going to hell. Like, that's part of what keeps people in.
It's fear, shame, guilt, belonging. Pick your various types of those flavor groups for your religion.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying a lot. I've not had that type of, oh my goodness, I now need to pray, even when I was raised religious. And it's a much less epic story where, sure, maybe because I was in middle school, I could have like swallowed too much water and drowned. But I have a similar story of getting stuck in a thunderstorm on a lake in a small boat, which I'm not going to tell now because it'll pay. the boat went over and I could still see the side of the shore, and the waves were big to my seventh grade self.
And then
I survived.
And then Jesus came out to you on the water and pulled you in.
Jesus came out to me on the water and I said, Jesus, get the boat. And he did nothing. So useless. But I understand the realization that you're getting. And I'll be honest, in terms of that specific experience that I have, which is sort of vaguely like yours, you know, breaking a pinky is the same as breaking a femur, except it's not. That's a really interesting realization of like, you know, it just didn't occur to me to think about God in that moment, because it doesn't occur to me either. And I think it's worth saying again, because it's better not to stop and pray if there's something helpful and useful that you can do in a life-threatening situation for yourself and other people. Yeah. Foxholes or no. And then the expression atheists in foxholes, not to go on and on and on about it, but the only times I've ever heard it were in like either explicitly and extremely or like casually, oh yeah, well, like, oh, you'll get it when you're older, or because I said so level, I'm right, but because of some condition with you, you're wrong, so I accept your wrongness because I know eventually you'll agree with me because I'm right. Oh yeah, well, you might be talking some smack about Jesus to my face now, but when someone's shooting at you, you're gonna be praying. Well, I won't be. I'll be ducking for cover and therefore more likely to avoid getting shot. But I think there's something to be said about how dismissive and unhelpful that attitude is.
Yeah, for sure. Heath, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. And I guess I just, I've never liked that statement either. It's always seemed kind of like a weak kind of, I'm not going to argue anything properly. I'm just going to try and
it's a weak out.
It's fear. And, you know, I say fire back. You say there's no young earth creationists in anthropology departments. I don't know. You can, you do something with it. Like, it is fear. It is a self-report. It is saying what the relationship in this religion is supposed to be. And that is fear, right? And some Christians are very honest about it. They're like, you're supposed to be afraid. Like, you're supposed to fear God.
Fear of the Lord.
Yeah. And I would argue that's not a very healthy relationship to have with people who love you is to be mortally afraid of them, but you know, they would disagree.
And
I was scared. I mean, after the third time, I was on the dock crying, and telling my skipper I had to quit. And then I realized he'd lose the boat, and so I didn't quit. I stuck with him because, I mean, we were close. I didn't want him to lose his living.
Yeah.
I actually went back out for another season when he said, like, if you don't come back, I'm going to lose the boat. And I was like, I do not want that to happen.
Right.
So I went out one more time.
Well, this is why people think Pascal's wager is convincing, because they think they're betting on the house, right? Mm-hmm. They think that, oh, well, as long as I got this belief in my back pocket, I'm good, no, even if it's real or not, right? And, like, again, that's coerced. I think that's a coercive relationship. It's like, look, you're going to do what I want anyway.
Unethical, yeah.
You know?
Not a relationship between loving partners determining what's going to happen on equal terms, to be sure.
Now, on the flip side, there are some Christians who say once saved, always saved. And if that's the case, I've been baptized twice. So,
but have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I'm good. Well, that's what, no, that's another thing. Christians would say I've never been a real Christian because.
Well, it depends on which Christian, but
I know, but I'm saying, but there are some Christians that would say that my Christianity isn't valid because if I truly had the Holy Spirit in me, then I wouldn't have left.
You wouldn't have, So you weren't actually saved in the first. Christianity could totally beat up your Christianity. It's like so much more Christian than yours.
My God. Oh my God.
I knew I would get him without it. Yeah.
Jamie is on a mission to trigger me today. That's what's happening. It's
pew 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 pew.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, Heath, I think did you have everything that you wanted to say there? I think we had a good back and forth. What do you think?
No, I think that was about it. Just wanted to tell that story.
The only other thing about atheists in foxholes as an expression that I've heard, and it gets a little bit more diehard patriot than I would usually get or would broadly say, the response of, oh, there's no atheists in foxholes is, no, that's because they got out and charged when the time came because they knew it was what their country needed.
Yeah.
Which is a very specific response, but it's the most impactful one I've ever heard.
When I think of no atheists in foxholes, I think of like Bush era atheist debates, honestly. Like, I don't know. I didn't
have a lot of Bush era atheist debates.
Well, I'm saying that time period where like...
Well, no, that's what I mean is like... I was dealing with other stuff. So
I wasn't there. I'm just saying when I think of like old, that's, it seems like an older argument to me. I don't really hear people say it as much today, but like, I guess it's still a thing. Anyway, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate your time there and for sharing that story. Yeah,
thank you for the story, the topic, you enabling me to be an agent of chaos. It's been.
You are an agent of chaos.
But in a fun way.
I am
queen of having a good time.
Let's get back to Emmanuel.
Let's get back to him. Oh, is he back?
Emmanuel's back.
Yay.
He wants to talk to us. Emmanuel, you are back on Truth Wanted. I don't know what happened there, but good to talk to you again.
Welcome
How are
back.
You doing?
Emmanuel, you can. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I think you were in the middle of actually giving your point. So if you want to repeat what you were saying, that's...
My point was, you know, Christ have like two manifestations according to New Testament.
Yeah.
So everyone that saw Christ, for example, Paul, did not see him physically.
Yeah.
Because 1 Corinthians 15 said that the material body is from the earth and the spiritual body is from the spirit. So what happens is when we die, our material body, which came from the earth, is going to disappear.
Okay.
That's why we're mortal.
Okay.
But our spirit, which came from God, is eternal. And we're going to face a judgment in the spirit, not in the body.
Let's go back a step.
It's not going to be condemned.
Can we go back a step? Should I believe, or why should Jamie believe, in anything that the Apostle Paul has to say?
You should not believe. I'm just saying it. A Christian should believe the Apostle Paul.
Why should a Christian believe him?
Because the New Testament writer is Paul, and a Christian is someone who believes in Scripture. That's how I understand.
Well,
what is it?
Now.
Hold on. Emmanuel, do you believe that I should be a Christian?
No, if you're not convinced, you should not be a Christian.
Okay, so do you think that this is something that should convince me to be a Christian?
No. I just want to ask a couple of questions because I want to know your position. I called in to question you.
Yeah.
Not to make claims.
Well, inevitably, by asking us questions, I mean, we are interested. I mean, we, you know, we,
yeah,
part of our show is
to tease out the details of the question.
The slogan of the show is kind of, we want to know what people believe and why. So we want to know what you believe and why, but like ostensibly, right? If the events that Paul is describing are true and happened, that shouldn't be something exclusive to Christians. That should be exclusive to just people, right? Like, you know, again, I think that makes sense, right? If we believe that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States, that is a trivial fact, but I don't have to prescribe to a specific worldview necessarily to understand that that fact exists. In the same way, I should be able to recognize whether Jesus Christ rose from the dead or any other Christian claims. And you're right, I don't have to call myself a Christian and believe that, but like that should be true on its own, right? I mean, like, do you agree with that?
Yeah. I completely understand and agree with it. My question is, do you think that, you know, me following Christianity, you think I'm restricted in terms of rationality? That was my question.
So first, you know, Christianity encompasses a lot of beliefs, right? So you may have some beliefs and call yourself a Christian and think that's a Christian belief, and it may not be uniquely a Christian. It may be just a historical fact. For example, Jesus Christ being a real person. There are some people that dispute that.
There are some parts of Christianity that say he wasn't a real person.
And there's atheists that say he isn't real, but there's atheists that say he is real. So like, again, that's another, you know, you don't have to be, it doesn't say anything about your rationality on that. But what I do think is your ability to evaluate claims and your credulity, right? Your skepticism on claims or in others might be affected by your Christianity. And I only say that because I was a Christian and I was skeptical of atheists. I was skeptical of anybody that wasn't Christian because Christianity was true to me. Yeah. Everything that encompassed that was true. And so if you already have the truth, you should be skeptical of people who don't have the truth, right? But now I'm on the other side of this. And now I'm able to evaluate these positions and these claims. And when I've looked into it, I do not find the reasoning that Christians use to evaluate whether their claims are true as reasonable. I don't think it's methodologically sound, and I don't think it's consistent, right? So that would be my position on that.
I think it. We're happy to talk about what our position is and what we believe.
Yeah.
But the name of the show is Truth Wanted because it's a thing that we want.
Yeah.
So we recognize we don't have all the answers.
That's right.
But we also want to impart the what we think of as a wise position, which is it's always better to be seeking it.
Yeah. In other words,
you don't know how much truth, how much wisdom, how much perspective you lack until you question and examine things.
In other words, if you have the truth, if you have the truth, we want to know about it.
Yeah, give me that truth.
Yeah, so that's
But by the way, you think truth is like absolute, or do you think truth could be relative?
I think
like
Christians
have like different forms of truth.
Christians have this very traditionally Christianity emphasizes, a lot of Christian tradition emphasizes a Platonic ideal of truth. They talk about truth as this sort of higher, almost godlike thing, right? Some people say that truth is godliness even. And has it, you know, it's something that can be all attained. I don't know if I particularly subscribe to that position, which, you know, is controversial amongst the atheist community also as to what exactly we mean by truth. I mean, philosophy has spent centuries trying to figure out exact meanings. And it turns out there are different definitions that you can come to, and there may not be a way to inevitably sort them out. In other words, there may not be a universal truth in the way that you might traditionally think about truth, but that doesn't mean we can't use established methodologies to evaluate truth claims. For example, again, if Jamie says he has a beard, there's a way I can know that, right? Mm-hmm. I can look at it. He can send me a picture. He can, I don't know, there's different ways you can evaluate, and that's a specific truth claim you can look at. Other truth claims, maybe not as much. Maybe there's some like, is beauty
here? I can
good?
Help you
is
with
beauty
that.
Bad? I mean, like, those are kind of more subjective kind
if
of.
If Dan you know. Then replies, oh, yes, I like your beard. I have a beard as well. And I reply to him, no, you don't. You call that a beard? That's not a beard. Well, we can have that subjective argument about something that is objective. I don't think there's anyone that would say, I don't have a beard, because it's long. long. I don't know if you're watching. But this small amount of hair that happens to be growing from his face, is it a beard? Is it not? What do we define as a beard? And in that way, we seek a type of, and I'm putting in quotes, truth of narrowing down the definitions of the language we use.
Yeah.
And I would say, if you're looking, if I can tell you the thing that's inspired me about looking at the beauty of the world and the majesty of what I would imagine you'd call creation, is that there is a language that is as precise as I think humans can possibly make a language. And that language is math. And so when you get to calculations and understandings of what is true and isn't true, that can only be described in math, you get to things certainly beyond my full level of understanding, like the special and general theories of relativity. And interestingly, and this is why it's relevant to your point, when you get down to there's a very famous example that Einstein gave to explain how time itself is relative based on how you're measuring it, and that the only absolute truth in that sense would be the speed of light. There's a famous example with a person on a train and a person watching a train. I won't get into the details of it, but the questions that you're asking are not questions that we reject or dislike. The questions that you're asking, is there one truth? Are there subjective truths? Even through the investigation of science, we are finding answers to this. And I have to say, the ones that get described in math seem more precise and more accurate.
Then you get to like get at your problem and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that, and then I'm not good at calculus.
Go ahead, Emmanuel.
Yeah. Do you think that philosophy... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. We can hear you.
Do you think philosophy is a true science? You think philosophy is science? Because I was reading a commentary on Colossians, and one of the things that Paul was commanding Christians.
Emmanuel, he dropped out again.
Hey.
What the heck, Emmanuel?
Well,
I think that's all the time we even have for that call anyway.
Yeah.
But Emmanuel, the answer to your question, is science a philosophy?
Well, I think it's,
or is philosophy a science? Is a philosophical one. So, right?
I would say philosophy seems to be a means of...
I think that's like a reason.
Oh, you're back.
Oh, shoot, he's back.
Yeah.
What's up,
Wayne? You faded out for a second.
Yeah, we couldn't hear you.
Hello.
Hello.
We got to wrap things up, unfortunately. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what I was saying was, when I was reading, when I was studying Colossians, Paul pretty much warned other Christians from human philosophy.
Yes.
So I also warn other Christians from human philosophy.
Yes.
I think atheism is part of the human philosophy. So because
I think it's safe to say that Christianity, and when people start discussing things or can discuss things like what do angels do, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, for example, is a type of theological question that you answered.
And I'm sorry, Emmanuel, I do have to cut you off short, but I respond
you should
with
call
this.
Back.
Yes, in saying that. Okay. When Paul talks about his philosophy, he's a human with a philosophy. So, I don't think he gets a pass just because he's talking about God. You know what I mean? And the reason why I say that is because how many human beings have philosophized about God, right? In human history?
A lot.
And I am not convinced that Paul is necessarily more knowledgeable about the true nature of God than any other human being on earth. I'm sorry, I'm not. Just because he has an road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I've met some people with crazier experiences than that, quite frankly, or at least they have alleged that they've had crazy experiences. You know, so anyway, that's a topic for another time. I do have to let you go, but thank you for your call.
Thanks for calling in, and do call back next week.
Yeah. We are going to go a bit over time today because there's one more call, and I got the go-ahead from the crew. They're going to let me talk to one more person here, so yay, we get to do some extra time. Sam from Ohio, you are talking to the fine folks here at Truth Wanted, in the most non-egotistical way possible. Sam, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's up?
Yeah, so Paul said, can a Christian be part of the LGBTQ community? And I say yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sam, are you a Christian?
No.
Okay, so what's your... I think it's a fascinating question for us on our side of the table, right? Because it's only a question that Christians can answer, and ultimately there is no true answer to this, right? Because... Christianity as we probably understand it, and you know, don't let me make assumptions for your position, Sam, but if we understand that Christianity is a human religion and humanly constructed, then their rules about how to treat other humans are also humanly constructed and aren't divine. So there's no divine objective answer to this. It's whatever the people in authority within Christianity say. And even then it doesn't matter, because there's always going to be defectors of Christianity. Christianity is rife with people saying, no, this isn't the way that you should interpret it. Here's the real way you should interpret it. So it's, I think it's a never-ending thing. What do you think, Jamie?
I think to touch on your last point there of this Christianity, that Christianity, there's always going to be someone saying you're Christianing wrong.
Yeah.
And so there will be Christians that will say, I'll leave out the expletives, but effectively that no, it wouldn't be possible for a person who was otherwise a Christian and then a member of the LGBTQIA+ community to remain a Christian. They'd be given over to a reprobate mind. Oh, they're one of those, etc. And I think that there are people, unfortunately, that see things the other way, that think that if they meet a person and they say, I'm gay. Oh, cool. I'm an ally. Oh, hey, how's it going? Whatever, etc. No, I can't do that on Sunday. I'm going to church. That suddenly somehow they're not a part of the LGBTQIA+ community. And I don't think that that's fair. It's not atheist LGBTQIA+. It's LGBTQIA+.
Sure.
So I agree with you.
Yeah. What do you think, Sam?
I'm not really sure.
Fair enough. That's the best. That's an honest answer.
So it sounded like you said that you, when you were answering the poll, that you believed that you could, that a person could be part of the LGBTQIA+ community and a Christian.
Yeah.
Walk us through your thinking on that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's an interesting point that needs to be.
When most people think about LGBTQ, they think about homosexuality, and that's some people say that's a big no-no. Some people say it's okay. It's not just homosexuality. You could probably identify as a different gender. You could maybe identify as bisexual. It's not just homosexuality. Like, you could identify as a female and still be a Christian, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, so again, it's a theological question, right? And like, if my position is all theology is ultimately bullshit, so it doesn't really matter. But like, if a Christian is telling me that they are a Christian and they are part of the LGBT plus community, and they have no problem reconciling that, I mean, personally, I'm fine with that. I mean, because who cares, right? Like, yeah, I personally don't see how for most of Christian history and most of people who've talked about theology, you can make it work. There are liberal scholars who I've read the arguments for that look at passages in the Bible and say, oh, well, you can actually interpret it to be inclusive. I'm not convinced that you can, personally, but it doesn't matter because I'm not a Christian. So,
I mean, as a bit of light reading, those ones I haven't read in terms of like what are the actual most serious, explicit, no, we're going to take on the question of when we said kill him with rocks, we didn't really mean it in terms of being compatible.
It's more like when Paul is talking about homosexuals, he's actually talking about, temple sex workers, basically. Like, you know, there's people who would say if you reinterpret the language here, it's not actually talking about people's sexual orientations or identities in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, there's other things that people point to. Yeah. But like, that's where the academic discussion goes. Yeah. From my understanding.
So when they're talking about the stuff in the New Testament, they're saying, no, he's saying, don't be a hoe for the church, but be a hoe if that's what you're going
to
do.
I swear to God, Jamie,
it's an honest question. Is that what they mean?
I have no fucking clue, dude. I don't know.
Okay. I'll take a look at it.
Sam, any final thoughts before we wrap up today's show?
Yeah, before you let him escape me.
Probably just that it's really just an individual's choice on whether they can be Christian and be part of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah.
I guess it's not really us, like, as people to decide, only the individual.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, are you I think you said...
No, he already said he's not a Christian.
Yeah. I was going to ask, are you a Christian that's a member of the LGBTQIA+ community? But I didn't know whether you wanted to get into the other half of that conversation.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with Sam, right?
Yeah, look, I think
if a Christian says they're gay, they make it work.
Yeah, I'm not here to tell Christians. No, I disagree with you, but also here's the way that you should be Christian at me.
Yeah, exactly.
When you
I can't be like, no, you're not a real Christian. What? Why would I care about that?
Yeah, but I mean, I could point to things in the scripture, but ultimately, someone else is determining what their religion is.
Christianity is a series of reinterpretations, And the truth is, I don't think there's any form of Christianity that exists today that even comes close to what the first people actually believe. We really won't
first
know.
Christianities, because the first two centuries,
that's right.
They were like...
Even in the beginning, there was
there
different
were versions where there literally were two gods, in, 365.
In the Bible, they talk about the differences that Peter and Paul had on theologies. And one of them supposedly met Jesus.
Yeah.
And the other guy saw him in a vision. Like, that's like right from the get... That's right from the jump, they were having disagreements. Yeah. So ultimately, it doesn't matter. What Christianity has to say about LGBT people doesn't matter. It matters in the sense that we have to help people in those communities.
We have to respond to it.
Yeah. And we have to dismantle these arguments when they come up. But if somebody wants to call themselves a Christian and be a part of that community, there shouldn't be any...
I'm not going to kick them out the club.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, it's whatever. But anyway, Sam, I hope our takes made sense and were informative. Any final thoughts before we let you go?
Just one. People have different interpretations of the Bible, right? And that's why you see multiple sects.
Sure.
Or S-E-C-T-S.
Yeah.
Not T-X, and that's another point to why there's no clear answer.
Yeah.
And that's just my final thoughts. Nothing else.
You're right. There are no clear answers.
It's almost like the method they're using to try and find the answer isn't particularly reliable.
That's a thinker. That's a real thinker. But anyway, yeah, you're right. Sam, it doesn't like it's never there's never going to be a true objective answer. Christians will continue to try for as long as Christianity exists to find a true objective answer to these questions, but it doesn't exist because ultimately the whole thing was made up. The whole system was the game was rigged from the start.
Yes,
and then
but in
that
a way where we all lose.
Right, exactly. Sam, we're going to go ahead and let you go. Thank you so much for calling in, and folks at home watching or listening to the show, thank you guys so much for listening to tonight's show. I want to give a special thank you to guests tonight, Jamie Boone.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks, Jamie.
I'm always happy to be places. So.
Where can people find you at if they want to?
Well, if you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter at Jamie the Heathen. You can find me on Instagram at Jamie Loco Crazy. And then reach out to me in either of those places. That's the main spots you can find me in public. And then I've got other stuff going on. I just got a new job I'm excited about, but I'm not mentioning here because it's in the cannabis industry. And I'm attempting to be respectful, but I've said it anyway. So you know me. You know where you can find me. Jamie the Heathen, Jamie Loco Crazy. Slide in my DMs. You'll hear from me.
There you go. And thanks again, Jamie, for being on the show.
Oh,
and
of course, thanks for having me.
I have to give a shout out to the wonderful, fantastic, amazing, stupendous crew that helped make this show happen every single week. There's the crew cam. And as you can see, some of them are here in the building with me.
Whoop.
With us tonight, which is awesome.
Got our friends close by.
And of course, thank you, of course, to those who work remotely for all of our shows. Mm-hmm. You guys rock. And they are the ones that help make this show happen every week. They're the real powerful ones. If you think about it, they can make us look stupid, and we would have no way of controlling it. It's really crazy. But
I don't believe in a god. But the closest thing I know on the other side,
it's production. It is production. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that is going to be it for tonight's show. Thank you to everybody who showed up today in studio, and thank you to everybody watching at home. I'm Objectively Dan. Remember to always keep wanting the truth, and I'll see you next time.
Watch The Nonprofits and join the hosts in the live chat Sundays at 3 p.m. Central between The Atheist Experience and Talk Heathen. Visit tiny.cc/ytnp.